Welcome. My name is Mark Unno, and I'm a professor of Buddhist studies at the University of Oregon. I'm also an ordained minister in the tradition of Shin Buddhism, which is the largest school of Buddhism in Japan, and it's part of the largest stream of Buddhist practice in East Asia, China, Japan, Korea, and that's Pure Land Buddhist practice. And I'm going to explain the nature of practice before I introduce you to some of the practices, because the nature of Buddhist practice in the context of Shin Buddhism is a little bit different from many of the other schools of Buddhism. And that's because we don't generally do guided meditations. And although quiet seated meditation is part of the practice, the primary practice in Shin Buddhism is chanting. So in comparison to other schools of Buddhism, where often silent seated meditation is considered the core practice, especially for monastics, in Shin Buddhism, which is a lay-oriented form of Buddhism, chanting is the primary practice, although periods of quiet, silent sitting are also included. In order to understand how the chanting works, it's important to understand the structure of Shin Buddhist thought. So the structure of Shin Buddhist thought in one word or one phrase is already, but not yet. Already, but not yet. And what that means is already the fullness of reality as understood in Buddhism, especially Mahayana Buddhism, is fully realized. So in simplest terms, emptiness, suchness, the oneness of reality, is already what it is. And yet, it's not yet. What is the not yet? We, as sentient beings, and in Shin Buddhism, we use the term foolish beings. Sentient beings as foolish beings, we're fools because we still have attachments. We still have delusions. In Shin Buddhism, we call these blind passions. And so because we have our blindness, we have our attachments, then we can't see, sense, hear, or feel the true nature of reality, which is emptiness, oneness, suchness, or another term is the Dharmakaya, which is the Dharma body or the embodiment of the deepest truth of reality, of emptiness or oneness. And in Shin Buddhism, the Dharmakaya is embodied in the cosmic reality of infinite awakening, which is referred to as Amitabha in the Indian original classical language of Sanskrit, or in Japanese, Amida, Amida Butsu or Amida Buddha. So the primary practice in Shin Buddhism is chanting the name, what's called the name of Amida Buddha, which in the original Sanskrit is Namo Amitabha Buddha. And in Japanese, it's Namo Amida Butsu. And the namo of Namo Amitabha Buddha is the same as the namas of the common South Asian greeting, namaste. So namaste actually means, te means you, namas means I bow. So namaste means I bow to you. So Namo Amitabha Buddha means I bow and entrust myself to Amitabha Buddha, the Buddha of infinite light. But this Buddha is not some being out there. This is the expression of the clarity and illumination of the deepest, truest reality of the self, of the deepest, truest self, which is the emptiness, oneness, Dharmakaya, which is formless. So the phrase Namo Amitabha Buddha means I, this foolish being filled with attachments and blind passions, am illuminated, enveloped, embraced, and dissolved into the deep flow of the oneness of reality. And this is the realization of the full meaning of what we call the six-syllable name, Namo Amitabha Buddha, or Namo Amida Butsu in Japanese, which means I, this foolish being, entrust myself to the awakening of infinite light. So I'm going to do the chanting of that form for you. I'm also going to do a more elaborate chanting and then a moment of silent meditation. But in order to explain this, I need to explain one more concept which is core, which in some ways is the core practice in Shin Buddhism. And this is deep listening, deep hearing. Deep listening, deep hearing. Deep listening, deep hearing refers to the fact that I'm a foolish being blinded by my attachments. And so I cannot see clearly all the way through to the true nature of reality, which is emptiness, oneness, suchness, the formless Dharmakaya. And yet, like a child who can hear his mother calling to him, even though it may be foggy and he cannot see her form, he can still hear her call, calling him home. And so what we understand in Shin Buddhism is when we truly, deeply do the chanting, it is not coming from the intentional self, the conscious self, or the ego self, but is emanating forth from the deepest level of reality, the Dharmakaya, the emptiness, and the oneness. So even though we may be vocalizing the chanting, when we go deep into the practice, we experience it as receiving the chanting as the voiceless voice of the true nature of reality, of the true self calling out to us. And this conforms to what I described earlier, already, but not yet. The true nature of reality is already what it is, which is the Dharmakaya, which is formless, which is the true nature as Amida Buddha, the awakening of infinite light. And yet, it is not yet. And so I must vocalize in order to receive the awakening. And the receiving is called receiving the vow of compassion. Receiving the vow of compassion. Because what arises from the oneness is the profound aspiration to realize true reality as it is, which is oneness with all beings. So one way to understand the core practice of Shin Buddhism and all practices within Shin Buddhism is to realize all beings are one with me, and therefore I am moved to become one with all beings. The true nature of reality is that all beings are already one with me. And therefore, I'm moved to realize this in practice, to become one with all beings. Again, all beings are one with me. And therefore, I'm moved to become one with all beings. And this is the meaning of the core practice of Shin Buddhism, of chanting Namo Amida Butsu, and all of the other practices in Shin Buddhism. When we chant Namo Amida Butsu, it becomes kind of smoothed out or elided. So I'm going to give a demonstration of that briefly now. So instead of saying Namo Amida Butsu, we say Namandabu. So you can see the similarity. Namo Amida Butsu and Namandabu. But when we do this in chanting, then it's like other Buddhist chanting. It has a rhythm to it. Explain a few more things about chanting. So as I said earlier, chanting is part of the practice of most schools of Buddhism, but is often considered the secondary or auxiliary practice, where silent seated meditation is the primary practice, especially for monastics, for monks and nuns. But in Shin Buddhism, chanting is the primary practice. And one of the things that we find in chanting that's different from silent seated meditation, of course, is that we're using our voice. And voice is very important for human existence, not just because it is a primary conduit for the medium that we live in, which is language. So fish live in the water. Birds fly through the sky. But human beings live in language. We cannot live without language. And so the expression finding your voice is considered synonymous with finding your identity, feeling comfortable with who you are, finding your voice. And so chanting in Buddhist practice can be extremely effective in helping us to feel comfortable in who we are, who we already are deep within, which is this kind of intersection between simultaneously realizing what a fool I am for having all these attachments. Attachments that, as long as we're alive, never go away completely, but being illuminated and entering the flow of the oneness of reality, these attachments, while they do not disappear, start to lose their hold on us. We're less swayed by them. The center of our awareness, the center of gravity of our being, shifts from our ego consciousness to deep, deep within, into the centerless center of emptiness, oneness, the formless Dharmakaya. And when we do that, then we start to feel comfortable, almost in a literal sense, with the sound of our voices. So when I was growing up, we moved around a lot. I had been born in Los Angeles, but I went to school in Japan until I was 8 years old. And coming back to this country, I had difficulty feeling culturally comfortable with who I was. But eventually, it was really through Buddhist practice that I began to become much more comfortable with the sound of my voice and even the sound of my laughter. So finding one's voice and each person's individual, unique voice. Now, chanting can be done by oneself. And in Shin Buddhism, each family has their own family altar, and many people have their own personal altar. And they do their chanting in front of the family or personal altar. But of course, whenever one goes to a Buddhist temple, a Shin Buddhist temple, then chanting is together. And chanting together is very, very beautiful. But when one chants together, one blends with all the other voices to form one voice, one communal voice. But the key to that is that individuality is not erased. So that's what's so amazing about listening, for example, to a chorus sing. A chorus can be singing all the same melody, but it sounds very, very rich because the individual qualities of each person's voice is not erased and instead contributes to the beauty of the entire group. Even though if one is a good choral singer, then one's own voice doesn't stand out above anybody else's. So this is also very helpful for understanding Buddhist practice. In American society, which is highly individualistic, the meaning of the individual is to stand out, something unique to me that no one else has, and I'm able to attract attention to that individual uniqueness, which is a great thing, but that can cause troubles if we're not able to collaborate and cooperate and live and work in harmony with others when that's also called for. So group or communal chanting in Shin Buddhism is a great example of how one's own unique voice, one's own unique identity can contribute to and blend with the whole without losing individuality, and yet at the same time, blending and harmonizing with everyone else. And that is also a great expression of one of the two great pillars of Mahayana Buddhism, which is non-dual compassion. along with non-dual wisdom. The wisdom to learn to blend with others and then to express that in terms of feeling, the feeling of the sound of music that comes from everyone chanting together. All right, so let's now enter sample practices. And I'm going to do four practices with you. First is just a moment of silent meditation in which to collect yourselves. But I hope that some of the thoughts that I shared with you will have a chance to sink in this moment of silent meditation. Then I'm going to follow that with chanting the three refuges, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, which is universal to almost all schools of Buddhism, to show that Shin Buddhism is part of the larger stream of Mahayana Buddhism and Buddhism generally. And then I'm going to do an abbreviated form of chanting of a work called the Jusege, which is specific to Shin Buddhism. And there is a larger explanation that I can give to that, but I'm going to give the simpler explanation, which is that in essence, every single syllable of chanting in all of Shin Buddhism has the same exact meaning, which is as the self-expression of the oneness of reality, the self-expression of the formless Dharmakaya. The meaning is not so important. The individual meaning of, in this case, Chinese characters, which were adopted by the Japanese, the individual meaning of the character is not so important because it's the experience of chanting that's important. What we want to have happen is each of us enter the flow of chanting, the deep flow of the oneness of reality. All right, so we're going to take a moment of silent meditation. And sit in whatever position is comfortable for you. And just make sure that you're able to relax. Just relax. Relax your shoulders. Relax your neck. Relax your eyes. Relax your face. And just let everything settle into the deep center within you. And put your palms together and bow. Now I'm going to chant the three refuges. Buddha Sarana. Now I'm going to chant the Jusege on abbreviated form, and I'll provide a web link for this abbreviated form. Oh. And we bow together, bow together. So thank you very much for taking the time to share this experience of chanting in Shin Buddhism, which is deep listening and deep hearing.